artist John Elsinga with It's a Great Day to Serve the Lord, devotions on how to seek and serve the Lord in your everyday life. We encourage and enrich your faith and give you something to think about along the way. Hi, everybody. It's John Elsinga with It's a Great Day to Serve the Lord, devotions on how to seek and serve the Lord in your everyday life. We encourage and enrich your faith and give you something to think about along the way. Well, hi, everybody. John Elsinga, and welcome back to It's a Great Day to Serve the Lord. And this is a great week to serve the Lord. It is the week of Easter. It is the week of Good Friday. It is the week we celebrate the death and then the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful week. And I hope that you will embrace everything about it. But I need to talk to you today about a serious matter because of this week. It's kind of a sobering matter. It's kind of a challenging matter about your faith. And my question to you, or my title of this devotional, is called On the Edges of Faith. But my question could be, are you on the edges of faith? Meaning you're kind of around there, you're kind of there, but you're not there. You know, you kind of, you know, maybe think of yourself in terms of being a Christian, but maybe there's no evidence for it. Maybe you know that there's things that you should do, simple things, and yet you're holding back from doing that. You stay on the edges. But if somebody would ask you, are you a Christian, you'd probably say, yeah. So what I want to start with is a reference to a scene or a couple of scenes that are shown in this great movie series called The Chosen. I hope you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. It's so well done. It's so fantastic. And the scene that I want to talk about surrounds Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a high priest, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a super spiritual guy, an admired guy. Everybody looked to him, fell on his every word, just looked to him for wisdom and guidance. And he was the ultimate of what you wanted to be in terms of a spiritual person. And if you want to look at the biblical references, just look at John chapter 3. That's all you need to do. It's the discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. And the difference, the thing about Nicodemus, though, is that he was somehow curious and open, anxious to know, even excited to know, could Jesus really be the Messiah? That was the question running through his mind and the thing that made his heart beat fast. He had to meet him. He had to see him. He had to ask questions. And so they arranged for this meeting in the dead of the night. And Jesus meets with him in a way that no one else would know he's there. No one else would see him. And Jesus makes it clear that, yes, I am the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he throws out a challenge to Nicodemus by way of this movie, this series. But he first tells Jesus that a couple of scriptures that probably the most popular scripture in all of the Bible, John 3:16. I'm going to go through verse 18. It says, and Jesus is speaking, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son," and Jesus is talking about himself here, "into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That whoever believes in him is not condemned. But," and here's the hard part, "whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son," that is Jesus. You see, the most wonderful scripture, John 3:16, is followed by the most challenging scripture. It doesn't allow you to stay in the stands, to stay in the edges. It doesn't allow you to dance around this faith called faith in Christ. You have to somehow make a decision. As they made the discussion and in the scene in The Chosen, Nicodemus was convinced. And then Jesus asks in this scene in The Chosen, don't know if this really happened or not, but I can imagine it did. He asked Nicodemus to do what his other followers did, his other disciples have done, and that is simply this, follow me. And he tells their plans to leave, I think it was the following day, to leave and where they're going to meet before they leave. Be there at this time, at this place. Nicodemus, I hope you follow me. And then that day comes, and all of the disciples and the followers are gathering there. The traveling group that went with Jesus are following there, are meeting there. And as depicted in The Chosen, Nicodemus does show up, but he's around the corner of a building. He's around the corner. None of the other people, none of the other disciples can see him. He's around the corner, but Jesus knows he's there. And we see Nicodemus in this emotional turmoil, this wrenching pain that he's feeling, that he has to make this choice, that he has to make the decision. He knows he's the Messiah. He knows he should go. In fact, he wants to go. And yet he doesn't. He holds back. And then Jesus, again, is depicted in The Chosen. Jesus looks over toward where Nicodemus is around the wall, and kind of under his breath, he says, you came so close. You came so close. That, by the way, if you want to reference that, it's in The Chosen, Season 1, Episode 8. You can find The Chosen, Season 1 on Netflix, Season 1 to 3 on Amazon Prime. So this is Season 1, Episode 8. But get this scene. I don't see this in Scripture, but I could see it happening. And Nicodemus is in tears. He's in wrenching pain. He really wants to go. And Jesus says, you came so close. Why didn't he go? I can only imagine Nicodemus is thinking what he'd have to give up to go. What he'd have to lose. What he would lose. His status, his reputation, his pride, the adulation that he received from everybody for being this super spiritual leader. Maybe even he would expect personal attacks because he's following this Messiah. Accusations, maybe even excommunication. We don't even want to deal with you anymore. Maybe that's what was going through his mind. But my friend, here's what I want to ask you today. Do you live on the edges of faith? Are you really a believer? Or do you dance around the issue? And maybe if somebody asked you, are you a Christian? You would say, yes, I am. And by the way, I think that's the wrong question. I would rather ask somebody, because a lot of people think they're Christians, I would rather ask this question, do you love the Lord? Is the Lord the love of your life? Do you dance around the edges of faith? You believe, you know he's the Messiah, you know you should, but you hold back. You don't go. You don't do the things that Christians do. And they do them not because they have to, but because they want to, because they love the Lord. But you hold back. Maybe you're afraid of what you'd have to give up for him. What it would cost you, or what it would demand of you. And there you are, on the edges of faith. And you know Jesus is here, there, waiting to be your Savior and Lord. And all you have to do is to follow him, and to take that step, and to say you are his, and to say, as Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now in the flesh, in the body, in this human life, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, don't think about what you might lose. Think about what you'll gain. You will gain, if you follow Jesus, life, real life, eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though you'll ever eventually die, though you're dying, you're going to live. People think of the restrictions and the restraints of what Christian faith means. That's the wrong viewpoint. You gain real freedom in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, for it is freedom that Christ has set you free. You gain a joy that is incomparable to any other kind of joy. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you, Jesus is talking, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, right now, you think you might be happy. You think you might have joy, and yet you're missing something. You know you are. I've got to tell you, I have never experienced such joy as the joy of loving the Lord, the joy of loving other believers, the joy of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as those seasons come around, but also throughout the year, because I love him. What a joy. You will gain an overwhelming sense of God's forgiveness and grace. It'll overwhelm you. It's so much. It's so big. It's so vast. It's so wide. Ephesians 1:7-8 says, he, that is God through Jesus Christ, he is so rich in kindness and grace. He has purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness along with wisdom and understanding. Do you not want to be showered with kindness? Do you not want to experience in his kindness and his grace? And speaking of grace, Romans 11:6 says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. You see, they say the best definition of grace is unmerited favor. You didn't work for it. You didn't achieve it. Like Nicodemus, who kept all the laws, all the rules, all the spiritual stuff to the T, to merit his salvation, and yet his salvation could never be gained or merited that way. We gain God's favor through doing one thing, believing him and following him. Those are one, by the way. Believing means following. And there is so much more. So much more than you gain. You gain a relationship with him, with God through Jesus Christ. You gain a relationship with a body of other believers, a bigger family than you ever experienced before. You gain a sense of thankfulness and gratitude in your life. You gain the ability to forgive others. Your work life becomes more meaningful. Our marriages become better and healthier. Our family life becomes more satisfying. Our desires change. We get an overwhelming sense, a desire to tell others about this love, this grace, this mercy of Jesus Christ. You gain a desire to serve others. You gain insight and wisdom that you've never had before. And you gain a sense of completeness and fullness. And whatever void you felt before is gone. And there's even more than that. Gain so much more. My friend, don't be like Nicodemus. Don't let this Easter come and go as you watch it go by again and you stand on the edges of faith. Don't hold back. Don't resist. Don't refuse his offer of love and forgiveness. Go, be with him, follow with him, step out and step into real faith in Jesus Christ. You can do that right now. You can pray along with me. Pray this prayer. Father in heaven, I admit I'm the sinner. I fall short. I mess up. I do things I shouldn't do. I there are things I should do, I don't do. I know I'm not complete, I'm not whole. I can't do this life without you. Father, I accept that you came here, that you came, Jesus, and you died, and then you rose again to have victory over sin and death. All you gave yourself for me. And I accept the fact then, Jesus, that you are Savior and Lord and God. And I commit right now, this time, this moment in history, to follow you. And I commit to do so for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, I hope you prayed that prayer. And regardless, I hope that you will go and follow him this Good Friday, this Easter, and for the rest of the year. If you want that list of what you would gain, just email me, john@johnelzing.com, and I'll just send you a Word document that has that on it. God bless you, and remember, it's a great week to serve the Lord.